and happy Monday. We are so excited that you're streaming with us today, and we have a great topic for you. But firstly, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Heather Perdue. I'm an associate women's pastor and a youth pastor at Charis Christian Center here in Colorado Springs. And this is my husband.
I'm Pastor Aaron. It's great to see you guys. Thanks for joining us. I hear all the time from people that enjoy watching these. So yeah. If you're watching live right now, we're actually doing this live. We try to do live as much as possible. That way we can interact slightly. So if you happen to be watching live, be sure to leave a comment just saying hello, maybe where you're watching from. If you have any questions too about the topic as we're discussing these, you're welcome to interject. And we have a screen where we can see these comments and questions. Mm-hmm. And we try to be somewhat interactive if we can be.
Yeah. And it's more fun if you interact.
So. Yeah. So we have quite a few people, that join us all around the world, actually, that connect with the ministry here. But, the podcast is kind of a unique format where it's very conversational.
Yeah.
And more interactive than maybe, live streaming a Sunday morning service. Mm-hmm. Or watching the television program, like this can be a little bit more interactive, and certainly interactive for Heather and I to be conversational and just really talk about how to apply the Word of God and how to really just live victoriously as believers.
Mm-hmm.
And people have different things they have to overcome and deal with, and just life isn't perfect.
No,
and,
but the Word of God has an answer for them all.
Yes. And God is the answer.
Yeah.
And everything that we need is in Him. And one issue that the world, has when they're trying to come up with solutions to various problems is that they often leave God out or push God out, and that makes things worse.
Yeah.
And
they try to lean on their own intellect, don't they?
It's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're watching this after the fact, that's great too. We love, I know a lot of people can't be live with us Monday
in the afternoon. Middle of the day on a Monday. We
kind of works for our schedule.
Yeah, work
because our staff's here and our children are in school, mm-hmm. and so we
got to do what we got to do.
Yeah, we can make it happen. But if you're watching this after the fact, be sure to leave comments as well.
Yeah, yeah, please do, because the chat during the live, it actually disappears after the live stream ends.
Mm-hmm.
So, we welcome you to leave your comments and your questions even after the fact of the live stream, even after it's over. If you get to thinking about something and you think, that would have been a good question, go ahead and leave it in the comments, because we go back and read those. Our team monitors those, and they let us know what you're saying. And, it's important. Mm-hmm. Fellowshipping is important. And that was the whole reason why we started doing the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Was because we wanted to be able to reach people on a personal level using social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why not? It's free. It's free.
And you
platform.
Can also kind of get to know us a little bit more, too.
Yeah, you're going to hear a lot more personal things here probably than anywhere else.
Yeah,
honestly.
We're both very involved here at the church. And, my father, my mother are the head pastors. They have me help as much as I can. But, we're often behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
Just working and doing ministry, and this is a good way for people to get to know us, mm-hmm. as well too. And I love the topic. Pastor Heather came up with the topic for today, and this is going to be a huge topic for a lot of people.
It's going to be massive.
And one thing I want to encourage people with is that different issues, different subjects, different problems that you might have as an individual or that people have in society, the way a Christian sees these things and goes through them and deals with things, it's very different than a non-Christian.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about, and I thank God for the power of the gospel, for the power of Jesus, that
Me
he
too.
Died for us. He rose, that there is a supernatural power,
mm-hmm.
In believing in Jesus. And, the topic that we're talking about today, there is power in the name of Jesus.
There is.
So tell us about what we're going to be sharing on today.
Yeah, so just this last week I saw online that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And when I saw that, I was just like, ugh. Like, I don't know, just something about when I hear about mental health awareness, I don't really like all the awareness month things, because to me, I feel like we should be more aware of what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Than our problems.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we diminish our problems. But anyway, so when I saw that, I was just like, oh my gosh. But then I feel like the Holy Spirit convicted me, because for the past year, I've really been diving deep into the mind, how to steward the mind, how to think about the things that we're thinking about, how mental, you know, issues are real. Mm-hmm. They really are real. There's a devil out there, and he's trying to assault our minds mm-hmm. as much as he possibly can. As a matter of fact, in the book of Genesis, that's the first thing he did to mankind, to Eve, was to get her to doubt the goodness of God, get her to doubt, get her to thinking wrongly about God, mm-hmm. the Father. And so that led me to just, you know, I said, God, if you want us to talk about this, let's talk about it.
Well, and the devil is a deceiver.
He's the deceiver. And where does that happen?
It happens in the mind. So he can deceive, you know, non-believers. He can deceive people in the world, but he can also deceive believers.
Oh, and he does.
Plenty of believers have been very deceived.
Have you been deceived in your life?
I have.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And if you think you're not deceived,
you're deceived.
Yeah, you're deceived. But something interesting, you know, yesterday we were able to teach the junior high Sunday morning class here at church, and we're teaching about Christ's return, mm-hmm. How he's coming again. And we were sharing from Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. There were 5 foolish, 5 wise ones, and they knew the bridegroom had gone away and would come back at any time. No one knew the day or the hour. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of Christ's return. And 5 were ready. They had their lamps and their oil ready. And he came, you know, the bridegroom, a picture of Christ, came back unexpectedly in the middle of the night, and they were ready. Mm-hmm. They were looking forward to it. So they were ready, and they had their lamps and their oil ready to go. You know, and I mentioned that the lamp is a type of the Bible. You mm-hmm. know, the Bible is a light.
A lamp into our feet.
A lamp into mm-hmm. our feet. And the oil is a type of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And how, as believers, if you really value your relationship with Jesus,
yeah.
you're going to look forward to his return. You're going to be ready for it. You're going to be excited about it. You're going to be anticipating it. But also, practically, you're going to be attracted to the lamp and the oil, to the Word of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And if you neglect those things, it's because it's a heart thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you're really not that excited about this great wedding we have, this great party, this union that we have with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to the students that this parable is mentioned in Matthew 25. The chapter before, the disciples asked Jesus, you know, when you come again, what's it going to look like? What are going to be the signs of your coming? And if you read through Matthew 24, what Jesus says about, you know, the end of the age before he comes again, these things are happening right now in a big way, and they're happening at an increasing at a very accelerated rate. But one of those things is deception.
Yeah.
That many would be deceived. And we're talking about AI, you know, mm-hmm. these young people, they have to be aware of, like, AI can deceive them, you know, and it's going to be the technology is going to grow more and more. So you need to be aware that it is possible to be deceived.
Yeah.
And the devil is a deceiver. So, but the way he deceives people is in their mind.
Yes.
And we see that mental health, even though people are more aware, there's more therapy, there's more counseling, there's more, you know, drugs, there's more.
Let's just read some statistics that I looked up. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, we shouldn't ignore the fact that people need help mm-hmm. in their minds. And so in the U.S., 23.1% of adults are living with mental illness. That was in 2022. That's not in my note here, but that was from 2022. 32.2% of young adults 18 to 25 years old experienced mental illness in 2024. In the U.S. alone, there are 48,824 suicidal deaths annually. Mm-hmm. And only about half of these people struggling with mental illness receive help or, like, reach out for help. Mm-hmm. The antidepressant market reached $6.6 billion in profit. And the U.S. is less than 5% of the world's population, but consumes over 60% of psychiatric drugs. Mm-hmm. So we are more aware than ever mm-hmm. that we need help, but we're not more free because we're spending more money and more resources on, you know, pharmaceutical psychiatric drugs. Mm-hmm. We're not being helped, mm-hmm. but we're aware, mm-hmm. you know. So there is an attack on the mind. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take, you have a doctoral degree, don't you? It doesn't take a doctoral degree to see that there's an increase in assaults against the mind. There's anxiety, depression, confusion, identity struggles. But 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, well, I'm going to start in verse 3. For though we live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons.
I love that verse because it says, though you might be dealing with things in the flesh, just in the natural, maybe in the yeah. mental arena.
Yes.
You don't just have to use human weapons. So there right. are some human weapons, and it's not wrong to use
no,
human
it's
weapons.
Not.
So I want to just start off the bat saying it's not wrong. If you need a medication, it's not wrong.
You're right.
If you need a counselor, it's not wrong,
no,
and you shouldn't
right.
feel shame.
You're right. In
those things, but to leave God out of the picture, to leave spiritual weapons mm-hmm. out of the picture is wrong. And that's why there's an increasing rate of these things
yeah, because
happening is because people leave out God.
Yeah.
And even in good. The field of psychology and counseling and therapy, there's an increasing rate of in this field to leave out God.
Well, they're pressured.
To leave out the total
person. We know counselors. We know people that are trying to get help to people that are in need. But there are laws in effect that mm-hmm. say you can't talk about God. Mm-hmm. You can't bring the Bible into this. You mm-hmm. can't. And that is where the cure is. Mm-hmm. It's in God, mm-hmm. like you just said. So, it's not wrong. I've had to take drugs to help. Various situations.
This is the thing, too. Like, you are a spirit. You possess a soul. Mm-hmm. You live in a body. And these things aren't just completely separate. You are
nope.
an interconnected person. I was just thinking about just how complex that is, spirit, soul, and body, and how it is very much interconnected. It's almost like God himself being a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see God in, you know, presented in, you know, three facets, but he's one person.
Mm-hmm.
And you really can't splice yourself into three different parts. They're all very interconnected.
Yeah.
And, for instance, just 2 weeks ago, you were having a really tough day.
Mm-hmm.
It was on a Monday 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You had a tough time, and it seemed like a fairly big kind of spiritual battle.
It was totally spiritual.
And
it
was,
back on
but
it.
The answer wasn't just spiritual. It was also just practical as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you were having a tough time, which
everybody
know,
deals with that.
For different reasons, different things. But I just said, you know what? I think what you really need is just a vacation.
Yeah.
You just need to touch the ocean. You know, some people say go outside and
touch the grass.
You need to touch the ocean. And I just got on, you know, looked at our calendar, and it was like a miracle. That weekend, we didn't really have anything
yeah.
going on. I called my parents. They were up for watching the kids for a few nights, and we flew to the beach and went away for 3 days. And that just helped reset things for me, too.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's just a practical thing you can do to help reset, but it's also a spiritual thing. You know, rest is spiritual as well.
Well, I also want to say this, though. You should take care of your body and your mind and your spirit. Like, mm-hmm. if you're not born again, you better get born again, because that's how you're going to take care of your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But just leaving the zip code is not going to heal you, because
no.
you can't get away from your mind.
Yeah.
But what that did for me was it let me get into an atmosphere where I wasn't with the kids, I wasn't around work, I could just take a deep breath,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, you know, don't freak out if you can't go hop on an airplane mm-hmm. and go to the beach. Sometimes you just need to go on a walk,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we didn't have the means to go on a vacation, I could have went to a park or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a big deal. But, you have to take care of the three, your spirit, your soul, and your body.
Mm-hmm.
That's
even
important.
Jesus would spend time away in
the wilderness.
People
would come hunt him down. So 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They're not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One.
Mm.
And I love that so much. You know, when you're dealing with an assault on your mind. A lot of times it's not a natural thing. It is a spiritual thing. And you have to recognize that your thoughts are not always your thoughts. Like sometimes they are, but when they're intrusive thoughts, you know, intrusive thoughts are like a big trendy thing, like something horrible that you think of out of nowhere. Listen, that did not come from you, from your born again spirit on the inside of you. That likely came from the devil. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Self-control and discipline are two things that the world hates to hear about, that Christians hate to hear about. They don't. If we had a teaching on discipline and self-control, it would be the last one to fly off the shelf. Because nobody wants to take responsibility for what they do with themselves. They want to put the blame on, well, my mom was mean to me. I grew up without a dad. My husband cheated on me or whatever. You know, no matter what has happened to you in your life, you have discipline, you have self-control, and you can dictate and cast out the thoughts out of your mind that are not yours, that are the enemy's. The battlefield is in the mind, like Joyce Meyer says. I love that woman. If the enemy can shape your thinking, he can shape your life. Mm. The fight is not just around you, it's happening within you. That is very good. So awareness, although it's good to have awareness of things, you know, we can't fix a problem unless we know what we're dealing with, right? I want to say hello to everybody that we have online. We have the Cannonberg kids. I know that's probably Luna and Eve. Hi, Luna and Eve. And we have Edwin joining us from Kenya, Africa. Hello. We're so happy that you're here. So the power of God. Oh, wait, no. Let me back up. Awareness does not heal. We can have all the awareness we want, but awareness will never remove shame, disgrace, or disapproval. You know, the whole point, I think I got my notes a little mixed up here, so I'm going to jump down to this and explain this. Mental health awareness is meant to reduce stigma. Do you ever think about what stigma is? Have you ever thought about that? I have the definition right here, but
I don't know.
Okay, well, it's a mark of disgrace, deep disapproval or shame, and it's based on a perceived difference. So, you know, that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to get us off into a corner when we're dealing with something difficult, and he tries to make us feel like you're the only one that's ever dealt with that. You're weird. You're a weirdo. You're a loser. You're never going to be able to bounce back from this, and so on and so forth. And so the world has said how we deal with that is let's make everyone aware that you're not alone. Yeah. But that doesn't help.
Well, you think of that word stigma. You know, I picture like a branding, like, you know, there's a classic literature piece, Nathaniel Hawthorne, The Scarlet Letter, you know.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, this woman was known as an adulteress, so she had to wear the Scarlet Letter, like an A, you know, on all of her clothing. And so that it's like branding someone. And I think that's what the devil tries to do, to make you feel shame, make you feel like you're branded, you're marked, and even the Antichrist, it's the mark of the beast. The devil wants to brand people. He wants to place a big stigma in your mind.
Yes.
And that's where he does it, is in the mind. Like, he's not going to physically brand your body.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting that even in Revelation, it's the mark of the beast.
Yes.
Like he really wants to mark people.
Oh, he does.
And just make, you know, just brand your mind with this identity that it's a proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, which, hey, God can help me. God can save me. God can heal me. Yeah. I don't have to identify with this. This can be washed away.
Yes, it can.
So it loses its power when you realize that there is hope, that there is a future, that there is a savior.
Yes.
And this is the problem with the way the world views, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month, is like, you are this way and you're always going to be this way. And we're going to leave God out.
So let's just.
That's why when I hear the word mental health awareness month, it makes me want to gag, because like the next month is June and it's Pride Month. And
let's celebrate that.
Yeah, let's identify with the stigma that you have, the identity that you have. And you know, and it's really interesting. I actually took several psychology classes in college. 15, 20 years ago, I majored in music, but I minored in business and had to take some psychology courses. And one class I took, abnormal psychology, I remember the main textbook was the DSM-4 mm-hmm. at the time. And that's the manual that, you know, mental health professionals use to diagnose mental health disorders. I think they're on DSM-5 now. But anyways, when the professor... who's teaching this, and we're in the DSM-4, I believe, he said, I didn't realize this, but through the 80s, homosexuality was actually a mental diagnosable disorder.
It still is,
It is a
though.
Disorder. It is abnormal. Like that. It is abnormal. But now, you know, and when 15 years ago, mm-hmm. the DSM-4, gender dysphoria was a mental disorder, mm-hmm. like thinking you're the opposite gender. Mm-hmm. I think I should be that was a mental disorder. That's no longer, they've taken that out of the latest edition. And so rather than try to help people...
they just try to change their gender at 15 years old, 18 years old, whatever, give them puberty blockers and sterilize them for the rest of their life. And then when their frontal lobe finally develops, then they realize, oh, it's too late. I've already cut my breasts off.
The heart of the problem is that people, the world leaves out God.
Yes.
And if you try to solve anything without God, whether it be a mental health thing... social justice thing, like, you know, economic thing,
the answer
relational
is,
thing. If you try mm-hmm. to do anything without God, if you try, like, it's not going to work.
Right. Well, that's why we're here.
Yeah, because God's the creator.
Yeah. So, okay. There's so much here. Okay. So John 8:32 says, okay, I want to say this. The power of God will heal you. It will heal you. You don't have to suffer with mental anguish. You don't have to suffer with confusion. If you're watching this and you're unsure and you're thinking, maybe I was born in the wrong body and maybe I'm supposed to be a woman or a man. And, you know, no, that's not true. Confusion comes from the enemy and clarity comes from the Lord. And he made you a specific way on purpose. And so what if you're different? That doesn't mean that you're born in the wrong body. So God, the power of God will heal you. It will set you free. John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's the truth that you know that will make you free. And so John 8:36 says, so if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free.
That's really good. You know, I was thinking about spirit, soul, and body again. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Bible says like the body without the spirit is dead.
Yeah.
The mind without the spirit is confused.
Yes, yes. The mind without the spirit is
the
confused.
Mind without
That's
the
good.
Spirit is very confused.
Well, you know what? Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. My people, Christians, God's people are destroyed because they just don't know. You know, they don't know that they can be free. They don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, that they don't have to live like that. So instead of making mental illness, making everyone aware of that, we should be making people aware of the power of God, mm-hmm. which is what we do at this church. That's the reason why I love this church. But so stigma means a mark of disgrace, deep disapproval or shame based on perceived differences. But you know what you have to know is we are all the same. We all deal with hard things. We all deal with you know, discouragements from time to time, even though the word says don't be discouraged, you know. But we all deal with things, and the enemy tries to put us into a corner thinking that we're the only ones. Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to do here is I wanted to take a few weeks, actually, and go through a couple of things and show you what the word says about shame, disapproval, disgrace. I want to teach you about renewing your mind. But today, I wanted to take a deeper look into shame in mm-hmm. general. So what does God say about shame? So Roman, I'm just going to paraphrase these four scriptures. Here are just four. There's lots of scriptures about shame and about how we've been redeemed from shame. Romans 10:11 says, we will not be put to shame. Isaiah 54:4 says, you will not be ashamed. Joel 2:26-27 says, we'll never be ashamed again, never again shamed. Psalm 34:5 says, we're radiant. Our faces have been made radiant and we're not ashamed. Shame is the root of every self-defeating human behavior. That's what Mark Hankin says. And I love that. He actually studied psychology for a while. So I think he got that from a scholar. But I want to tell you, if you're struggling with addiction or something that you can't quit, if you are in all these promiscuous relationships, if you have a drinking problem, if you have an anger problem, a lot of your problems stem from shame. Mm-hmm. The root of it is shame.
And God removes shame.
And God does remove shame. And that's the ability to get out of all of that stuff, right?
Yeah, and I was thinking about like the woman caught in adultery.
Yes.
You know, in John 8, you know, Jesus ultimately set her free and said, go and sin no more. But people are trying to shame her, punish her. He saved her, forgave her, and didn't shame her. But other people are trying to trap her in shame. You know, if you're, I want to mention to people too, I was just reading through Psalms this morning. You know, Psalm 61, I remember just as I read this, years ago, being very much attracted to this psalm, because everyone at some point in their life will deal with a sense of being overwhelmed.
Yeah,
you know, in your mind, in your heart, in the soul, and this is a psalm that kind of talks about that experience when you are feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to read a few verses here. Psalm 61. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed.
Mm.
Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." So you have to look
to Jesus.
Beyond yourself. You have to look to Jesus. Mm-hmm. "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings."
Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful.
It's so good.
So for various reasons and various circumstances, you know, everyone's different. Like there will be times where in your soul, in your mind, in your heart, you will be overwhelmed, but you have to look to God.
Yes.
And that's where the world misses it. The world's like, oh, look to the drugs,
look to
just
your doctor,
continual therapy, which if you have to go continual all
the
time.
For the rest of your life, that's
it's not leading to freedom. It's creating a crutch.
Yeah. Yes. I love what Lynn said. She says, shame can direct your life. It's more than freeing to be set free from shame. And I wholeheartedly believe that. God's answer to shame is not coping with shame, it's removal.
Mm-hmm.
Shame, just complete and utter removal.
Well, and that's the direction that the world pushes people without God.
Uh-huh.
They can't really set people free.
Yeah.
But we can help you cope.
Right.
You know, here's more medication.
Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yeah.
We are meant to live free. If you're watching this and you've never made Jesus your Lord, your Savior, you can live free. You were meant to live free. You weren't supposed to be, you know, entangled in bondage and mental assault for the rest of your life. And you should call this number on the screen and get someone to pray with you.
I've seen people too. Like, you might be watching this and maybe you've just been coping.
Yeah, you don't have to cope.
In the mental arena for a long time, for years, maybe decades. But I've known people who've been at that level just kind of coping. You know, but I've seen people who've really been set free.
Yeah.
There's a young woman that came to church here for about 10 years and she really struggled. She even had panic attacks while being here at church in the middle of the foyer. Just from the stress of life and just things she'd been through in her past. But I don't know the exact testimony, but she was eventually completely set free.
Your grandma was
from
set
crippling
free.
Anxiety. Yeah.
And Pastor Barbara's mom, she dealt with very bad anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And she got filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she got completely set free. And I think Pastor Barbara said her mom flushed her drugs down the toilet because she just didn't need them anymore. Mm-hmm. She was completely free. And you know what? I have also dealt with anxiety. And I was on medication. I was coping, right? And at this time in my life, my first husband had passed away, so I was dealing with a lot of grief from that. And I was on medication for that. But really, I started using the medication to deal with my terrible lifestyle that I was doing to myself, putting myself in really crappy situations. You know what? When you're born again and you're going out here and you're doing things on purpose that you know you shouldn't be doing in relationships with people, you know you shouldn't be in a relationship with, binge drinking on the weekends and then showing up at church, and you think that your conscience is not going to condemn you, you have lost your mind. And that is the type of anxiety that you're going to introduce into your own life, because you're living contrary to who you really are on the inside.
And again, going back to the way the world sees things versus the way a Christian sees it, the world says, well, you just be you.
Yeah.
You do you.
That will kill you.
Yeah. If you think it's right, go for it. If you feel like it's right, go for it. That's the way because the world doesn't have God.
Yeah.
We're going to push God out.
Yeah.
We're going to push a higher authority out. We're going to push the Bible out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm not bringing all this up to condemn you. I'm bringing it up to set you free, because I have been there. Mm-hmm. I was standing at the kitchen sink sobbing with crippling anxiety. I felt like if you've ever dealt with anxiety, you know what I'm talking about. Whenever you feel like you're just having to take a deep breath, one after another, after another, after another, but you can never really catch your breath. That's what it feels like to have a panic attack and just deal with anxiety. And I was standing at the kitchen sink, and I was like, God, why am I dealing with this? Why do I feel like this? And he just showed me a picture, like a cycle of sin, guilt, shame, sin, guilt, shame, sin, guilt, shame, anxiety. And anxiety is in there with shame, sin, guilt, anxiety, over and over. And then I realized, oh my God, I don't have to live like this anymore. I can just stop doing the things that I'm doing. And you know what? You might think, well, I could never do that. I could never quit doing. Yes, you could. Yes, you can. To believe that you can't quit doing the things that are harming yourself, to believe that is a lie. You have believed a lie, and you need to start believing what the Word of God says, that you do have self-discipline on the inside of you. You can lean on the Holy Spirit. And if you feel so weak that you feel like you can't get out of what you're doing, that's why you call this church and have someone pray with you. That's why you go to church on Sunday and Wednesday and get around some godly people like Pastor Aaron and myself and all the other people that I know at this church. And if you think that going to church, people are going to condemn you, they're not. That's also a lie. Mm-hmm. You know, right? Mm-hmm. I hate that. I hate what the enemy is doing to great people. He's making them think that people are judging me. No, honey, you couldn't have lived a worse life than me. And now here I am. I'm completely set free. I don't have to take drugs anymore. Thank God. And not only that, my family is healthy too. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're healthy mentally, it pours over into your kids. Oh, I could go on and on. So anyway, Jesus came for total freedom. When sin entered the world, okay, this is the issue. People think that it's them. They're the ones with the issue. What advice would you give to help people who deal with panic attacks that come out of nowhere or feel like it's 24/7?
I think that kind of reminds me of this young lady I mentioned that would have panic attacks, and mm-hmm. they'd like come out of nowhere. I don't think it was like even anything specific that triggered it. Mm-hmm. Like she'd just have a panic attack on a Wednesday night at church
in the middle of the foyer. They're demonic, really.
Yeah, but I think some things that led to breakthrough in her life, she was very consistent in like coming to a good church. She volunteered. She was accountable.
Are you talking about this person that ended up, she moved away too?
Yeah, and her son got healed.
Well, I remember you talking to her. We were in the nursery hallway. Mm-hmm. And you told her to only, you gave her like some scripture cards, or maybe I did, but we ended up talking to her and she was listening to death metal music.
It's the same person. I don't know.
Maybe it's a different person, but there was another woman that came to church here and she was dealing with really bad panic attacks and anxiety, and come to find out she was listening to heavy metal, like they call death metal music. Mm-hmm. What you listen to affects you. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can't expect to have freedom while you're watching trash on TV and listening to garbage. You need to meditate on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And after the fact, Kevin, I have some scriptures listed. We're going to also put them in the description so you can go through. You need to meditate on good scripture that's has to do with the thing that you're dealing with. And you need to speak it out of your mind.
Yeah, but I think the young woman you're thinking of that I spoke to that said, I have crippling anxiety. What do I do about it? And I when I talk to someone,
yeah,
I usually give them a couple things that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to talk to me, that's fine. But like,
I love that. You give them something.
I was
the ball in their court.
Teacher. I taught music. I taught flute. And I would give assignments to my students. Like, if you're going to meet me, you're going to have an assignment. And I expect you to do it. Like,
hold on. Can we block this person? My dad is Biggie Smalls. Sorry. Go ahead, Aaron. Thanks, Kevin.
I think she told me that I asked her just what do you listen to? And she listens to like death metal music.
Yeah.
So I said, well, this is your assignment. I gave her like three things.
Mm-hmm. And this will be good for you too.
But I told her the only thing that you're allowed to listen to music wise is praise and worship music. Mm-hmm. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not allowed to listen to anything besides that. And for several weeks. And secondly, I said, you have to come to church every Sunday, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care how you feel. I don't care, like, what's going on. Like, you are going to be
here.
You
decide, yeah.
And number three, I gave her a scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7.
Mm-hmm.
For God has not given me a spirit of fear, mm-hmm. but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I said, she wrote it on an index card.
Yes.
And put it in her phone case so she could see it on the back of her phone case. And I said, whenever you feel, so this is for M. Nobel 2111. Whenever you feel like a panic attack, whenever you feel anxiety, whenever you feel like whenever you have that thought of anxiety, of worry, of like you take this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, and you speak it out loud.
Yeah.
God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And this young woman, when she did that, for like 2 weeks, it's all it took. It did not take that long.
Right.
Completely set free from anxiety. And I think she felt like major anxiety for
I don't even,
all of her adult life. Completely set free within like 2 weeks of mm-hmm. just not listening to death metal music and just quoting one Bible verse.
Yeah, that's how powerful the Word of God is.
Yeah.
Truly. And, you know, that's another lie that we want to make sure that we don't believe is that, oh, it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time for me to get free. And that's not true.
Mm.
It's really not true.
Yeah. That's Melissa. Cool. Yeah, I'm glad she brought up that question because a lot of people do deal with anxiety and just don't
know. I
know.
And I had, so even after I got out of all the mess that I was doing myself and moved here, you know, I'm married to Aaron now. We have Ada, and Ada was dealing with some things, and I had anxiety out of nowhere. Do you remember mm-hmm. this? I mean, it was probably stemmed from just dealing with the little things that Ada was dealing with, but I just felt like I couldn't catch my breath and for like a whole week. And that's when I started meditating. I actually picked up, I started watching Nancy Dufresne, I think on YouTube or something, mm-hmm. but she has a whole series called
Answer It.
And it is so good. And I was like, you know what? I'm tired of being pushed around by anxiety. I don't have to do that. And that's all it takes is sometimes us just realizing, oh, we're putting up with this when we are actually empowered and we have the authority to say, get out of here in Jesus' mm-hmm. name, mm-hmm. you know? So back to shame. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that?
I was going to just say, things affect you more than you realize.
Yes, they do.
You know,
that's what
the shows you watch, the music you listen to, the conversations you're a part of, the, mm-hmm. the types of personalities you hang out with. Like
they
you
do
might
affect
think
you.
They don't affect you, but they do.
They do. And sometimes we don't realize how much they're affecting us until we're up against a wall one day. And then mm-hmm. we kind of trace back and think, what might have caused this? And we realize.
I remember I was talking to a young man who just deals with a lot of mental, you know.
Assault.
Yeah. And I was just asking him what he reads, and it's just a bunch of junk. And sometimes the solutions are very simple. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it, you know.
What aggravates me, though, is that I can sit here and I can have 6 pages of notes typed out. I can have my own testimony of how God set me free. I can tell someone, look them dead in the eye and tell them, stop watching that garbage. And then they don't. And then they come back to me and they complain and they're like, oh, I need you to pray for me. Well, you know what? I need you to do your due diligence and get in the Word and stop mm-hmm. watching garbage and believing lies all day long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I need. So When sin entered the world, death entered. Mm-hmm. And God knew we needed help. And Jesus didn't come to get Jesus didn't just come to get us into heaven. He came to get heaven into us. Mm-hmm. And so we're not supposed to have condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging, guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Hmm. And that's a lot of us right there. If we could just learn how to just walk in the Spirit, then it would just by nature get rid of a lot of the guilt and the condemnation, because we're not bringing that into our life. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Romans 8:2 says, the law of Spirit equals freedom. For the law of Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me from the law of sin and of death. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I mentioned when sin entered the world, death entered the world, you know, sometimes nothing happened. We didn't have any traumatic experiences in our life. We grew up with great parents. We, you know, we never hungered. We never thirsted. We had everything provided for us, but yet we're still dealing with anxiety and mental issues. And sometimes things just happen because we live in a fallen world. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't do anything to deserve it. We were just born into a world that's not perfect. But that's why Jesus came, you know, to set us free. Set the oppressed free. In Luke 4:18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. That's why Jesus came.
Yeah, something that you posted earlier today, you posted a picture of Jesus with the crown of thorns.
Yeah.
And this is something that's really important to remember as a believer, that mm-hmm. Jesus, when he died on the cross, it was for your complete salvation, spirit, soul and body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible says in Isaiah 53:5, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. And you had this picture of the crown of thorns on his head. And this isn't something that, like, I've heard often, but it's very much true. Like, that crown of thorns, the thorns that were, you know, placed on his skull were like 2 inches long.
Yeah.
And they weren't bendy. They were like nails mm-hmm. being driven into his
head.
And there's a lot of scholarship, like even Shroud of Turin stuff, that shows just how much he bled from his head. But even you know, before he was captured, it said he was dealing with so much anxiety because he knew it was going to happen.
Blood.
He sweat great drops of blood. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was not an anxious person, but he was taking on our anxiety in that moment.
Yes.
Like to such an extreme amount of that weight, overwhelming weight on him, that he literally sweat blood.
And yeah. Can you even imagine?
But he did that for us because he cares about us. He cares about our spirit, our soul, and our body.
Yes.
And I've seen people kind of cop out, you know. I even saw a really great influencer who defends God, represents God, and he does a lot of good things, so I'm not going to mention his name, but he said, well, Jesus saved me at the point I was about ready to commit suicide. I was going to do it that night, and Jesus saved me. But he'll tell someone, well, you might be dealing with depression. If he doesn't save you, that's because he gave that to you to try to teach you. Like,
oh my gosh, that is like, garbage. And how self-righteous can somebody get to?
It's really sad that.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
Because he knows that depression that he dealt with wasn't from God, because it almost killed him. But God freed him from it. So God wants to free everyone from.
That makes my face hot.
I know.
It makes me so mad.
I know. People get really screwed up theology.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so 3 steps to start walking in freedom today. This is something, as we go through this series, we're gonna give you something you can do practically at the end of every teaching to help you. Because I don't want to just leave you with all this, even though, you know.
And again, sometimes it's super simple.
Sometimes it's super simple.
And
yeah.
God can show you something that's so simple.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to say that I forgot to say earlier was that this year's theme for Mental Health Awareness Month is better days together, more better days together.
Okay.
And I actually like that because I feel like, you know, that's why we're here. That's mm-hmm. why we're pastors. Mm-hmm. We welcome people in. We don't care where they're at, what they've been doing. Like, we don't care because we know that there's freedom in Jesus. And so if you're here in Colorado Springs, or if you just want to come here, if you need a retreat, get away from wherever you're at, maybe you should just come here for the weekend and experience one of our services. They're powerful, aren't they, Pastor Aaron? So anyway, if you need help, I'm going to give you these three steps to walking in freedom today. But, you know, you can call our church. You can leave a comment. You can email the church. There are many ways. There's always somebody here that can talk to you. So number one, identify the lie. Ask, what have I been believing about myself? Where do I feel shame or fear or disapproval? Like, where is that coming from? And then you want to replace it with the truth. So find a scripture and speak it out loud. So Romans 8:1 says, I'm not condemned. Romans 10:11 says, I will not be put to shame. John 8:36 says, I'm free indeed. So you can say, well, you should say, you don't break strongholds by trying harder. You break them by believing truth. And you can say that to yourself. I don't break strongholds by trying harder. I break them by believing truth, the truth of the word. Mm. And number three, speak truth daily. Mm. Not just thinking it, you have to say it. And you have to retrain your mind. There is a, I think she's a doctor, Caroline Leaf. But she like has medical.
Well, how the mind can actually
reroute.
Impact. Physically the body.
Then also how your brain, it's wild. You just have to look her up, Caroline Leaf. I don't know where she's at in the Christian faith, but she's got some very interesting information about how your brain, it's like highways, and how when you start speaking the word and introduce the word into your mind, start speaking it, how it creates a brand new highway of escape, you know? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you.
You know, I was just thinking about mind renewal, and we're going to talk more about this throughout the month.
Yeah.
Too, but your body is composed of organs and tissues mm-hmm. and cells.
Yeah.
And I don't know the exact lifespan of different cells, but each cell in your body, whether it be a skin cell, a cell in your bones, a cell in your heart and your eyes, they have to be renewed.
Yes.
They are renewed. At a certain rate. Mm-hmm. And your mind also needs to be renewed.
Yes, it does.
At a certain rate, mm-hmm. at least a daily rate, mm-hmm. your mind needs to be renewed because the world does, it has been affected by sin and
yeah.
and death mm-hmm. by Satan. So it has to be renewed.
Yeah. And you know, not mm-hmm. only doing these three things, which is, I'm just going to recap, identify the lie, replace it with truth, and speak truth daily. Pray to God every single day. Just take some time, set it aside, and just pray. Just pour out all the things that are bothering you to the Lord, and He really will take care of it. And studies have shown, even scientific studies have shown, that when you do that, it helps you. So definitely do that. You're not trying to become free. Jesus already paid for your freedom. Now you just have to agree with what Jesus has already done. Amen. That's really good.
Awesome.
I love this.
It's going to be a great month.
It's going to be wonderful.
So be sure to stay tuned.
Yeah. I'm going to pray for you all.
Yeah. I think it'll be great.
Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together. We thank you, God, for your word, for your truth, and for the power of the Holy Spirit. And right now, I just command Satan to take your hand off all of my brothers and sisters. I just command you to leave their minds alone right now in Jesus' name. And we just open the door for you, Holy Spirit, to just flood these brothers and sisters with the peace that passes all understanding, that they may know that you are good, that you're loving, that you have good plans for them, Lord. and that the rest of their days can be filled with joy and peace, Lord. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. And so we just thank you so much for being here. We hope that you're blessed. And just remember that you can always leave your comments in the comments after the fact. And until next time, we will see you soon.